welcome back to another episode of Just Jared. As you know, I'm Jared O'Clair. I'm the Dean of the College of Professional Studies at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. And one of my side gigs is also the Director of Bioinnovation. So, you know, I fall into that trap of using examples for the life sciences or from the life sciences. Excited to have four folks join me today who I'll ask to introduce themselves because they'll do a better job than I will. And we'll go around the table, which is means nothing to you if you're listening, but that's okay. Excited today to talk about essentially the power of partnership and our work here at CPS with the Roxbury Community College in a specific program, but probably will get a little bit broader there's lots of opportunity, but also we've had many conversations and have a burgeoning and growing partnership that I hope only gets bigger and frankly louder. So I'll pass it to my left and ask my colleague Francesca to introduce herself and then pass it down the table, and then I'll take it from there.
Thank you, Jared. Hi everyone, I'm Francesca Vipa. I'm a professor of business strategy in the College of Professional Studies, and I'm also serving as associate dean for research. I've been, for the past 14 years, been affiliated with the undergraduate programs here, and so the bachelor completion program. So I visited community colleges, and I am very happy that you invited me, Jared. I'll pass it to Hilaire.
Hello, my name is Hilaire Sims. I'm the Associate Vice President of Academic Affairs at Roxbury Community College. I also take care of the STEM department and the Radiologic Technology department. Been at Roxbury for well over 10 years now in various roles, and I was there back in 2021 when we first got the idea to reach out to Northeastern and work with you guys on this incredible program. It's crazy that we're now, you know, over 2 years in.
That's right. Not only that, it was crazy in 2021 because that was in the height of COVID.
Yes.
Greetings. My name is Earlene Avalon. I'm a teaching professor and the academic lead for our healthcare programs in the undergraduate sector in the College of Professional Studies. I'm also the principal investigator on this amazing grant that we have in partnership with Roxbury Community College. Prior to coming on board 9 years ago to the College of Professional Studies, I was an adjunct professor for about 7 years. And in my previous life, I ran student support programs, and I was an assistant dean at two other community colleges. So I'm going to pass it to my amazing colleague, Denise.
Hi, my name is Damien Blythe. I am the Associate Dean of Professional Studies and Health Career at Roxbury Community College. I have been at the college for a little bit over 9 years and in various positions there, and I'm excited to be part of this partnership in Northeastern.
Awesome. So as our listeners know, one of the things that I fundamentally am passionate about is deconstruction and reconstruction of higher education and thinking about what higher education looks like in the future. And for me, that's about pathways fundamentally and access to pathways for all learners that transverse their career or birth to earth. And this is an example of that. And I'm saying pathways because we're going to give this a name, but I think our goal is to be broader than just an associate's to master's in general, but that is the name of the pathway. So here's the jump ball for my fun basketball reference of the day for any of you to answer or describe what the partnership and the program is and does, and perhaps from two perspectives, the partnership perspective, but also the student perspective. Anyone?
I can take it from the RCC side, which then makes sense because they started RCC and go on to Northeastern.
That's great.
So the original idea behind whether it's this transfer pathway or honestly any transfer pathway that we have is trying to make a seamless process by which students can go from their associate's degree up through their bachelor's, and in this case there was the fantastic opportunity to make it not just the bachelor's but the master's, because we all know that if students stop along the way, that can slow them down or it can just stop them completely. Yep. And so the idea is, and we try to do this all the time with our students, we don't want to just get them through one semester, we want to get them planned out for all the semesters. Dean Blythe and I always talk to the students during orientations about the fact that, you know, from the first day, you got to know what you're hoping to go for, how long you want to go with this, who you need to talk to. We want to have them already in touch with our transfer people. So the idea is that Northeastern is just down the street from Roxbury Community College. It was honestly a no-brainer. The idea that our students live in the community, you're in the community, and they want to stay in the community. So we took some of our largest programs at the college. We wanted to have the biggest bang for our buck. So we started out with our biotechnology program, our IST program, that's information system technology, and our health careers program. And we worked out the tracks that would go into various bachelor's and then master's degrees at Northeastern. And then we were talking about, well, how do we get this funded and other things, but I guess we'll get to that in a little bit. And then, so from the Northeastern side?
I mean, I think one thing that you mentioned that's really important that I like to emphasize is, as I talk about pathways and recognizing that you can't engage in a pathway if you only see a percentage of the pathway. You need to present the entire pathway so that people can see where they're going, also, like you mentioned.
I think it's important to note too that, you know, pathways are not always linear.
Right.
And so for some people, you know, say students starting at Roxbury Community College, they might have attended another community college or another four-year school prior to coming to RCC, and they really want the help and guidance of trying to piece together all these credits and their life experiences and turn that into a degree, be it at the associate's degree or the bachelor's degree level. I was invited to be part of the initial team because I used to sit on the advisory board of Roxbury Community College healthcare programs. So for years I did that. Plus I've always been very passionate about workforce development. I developed programs in the healthcare sector for incumbent workers who worked in food services and entry-level administrative assistants to become nurses. So I was really aware of how important pathway programs are to students that might feel lost. And so we started this program, was it back in 2000?
We started planning in 2021.
I think I joined in 2022.
Yeah, it took about 2 years before we were fully funded and put pen to paper to sign it.
And so we here at the College of Professional Studies, we connected with our federal and community relations team, and they brought a group of individuals from CPS and Northeastern together to figure out how to best make this work. And so having that partnership right from the very beginning was essential. Like, you know, let us know about your students, we'll tell you about our programs, and let's see how to make this work for everyone involved. But also, you know, having leadership is different from also having someone who works with the students hand in hand, day by day. So we made sure that we also had different layers of support for students as we developed this pathway program.
I think it would be interesting for and important for our listeners to understand what the pathway is. So if we talk about an associate's to a master's degree, obviously we understand what an associate's degree is, we understand what a bachelor's degree is, and we understand what a master's degree is. But in the context of the pathway, what are besides laying out the pathway so that a student can engage, what are some other benefits to it?
Maybe I can just start and my colleagues can also add more. First of all, a pathway is really based on academic bridges, let's say, that within Northeastern that we built for between bachelor's degree and master's, so that we call them plus one in academic world. This is the opportunity for students.
That's in Northeastern world. We call them BSMS, this is in the real world.
Pathway program.
Yes.
It's a more general term, but it's really an opportunity for students to start already with one leg into the master's, in their master's degree, and then saving time and money, of course. And I just want to say one thing that when I was teaching more full-time than today, and I remember going to Roxbury Community College, meeting so many students, and it was very clear that students were very attracted to Northeastern. There were other universities there with me suggesting, come to us and, that's what we can do. But it was very clear that it was there was an opportunity to better communicate what they could do. There was a lot of misinformation from not knowing what Northeastern could do for them. And then it was not as expensive as they thought, that there were opportunity scholarship for them. But in addition to the academic pathway, and we also built, as you know, Hilal was going, we built some wraparound support service, so access to textbook and technology, laptop and public transportation, which is really important for students as they, go to classes, they juggle family, work, and it's really important. As a matter of fact, we just ran a survey with the current students that are enrolled in the Associate 2 Master's pathway, and many of them mentioned the opportunity to travel without that, without support, the opportunity to have textbook, and getting a lot of scholarship before. So that's really helpful. So the bridge is more not just the academic part, but the wraparound.
Yes, I think fundamentally, to use my very fun higher education vernacular, the student journey essentially is start at RCC, get your associate's degree in 2 years. All of that credit transfers to the Northeastern Degree Completion Bachelor Program, which is also 2 years. The last year of your bachelor's degree counts towards your bachelor's degree and also your master's degree. So then you only have one additional year to get your master's degree. And the other thing that you mentioned that's interesting, Francesca, and that Hillel also mentioned is you said when you were there was really interest from the students at RCC to engage with Northeastern. And I think it goes to something that I am super passionate about, and that's the whole idea of community, right? Roxbury, in which Northeastern also touches, is our community, and lots of the students, most of the students even perhaps, live in the community and want to stay in the community. And we're talking about learners who might be 18, but there's a lot of learners who might be in their early 20s who have families and commitments, which also links to the wraparound services, which I would I think are crucial, as we all know. So how many students have engaged in the process and the program? What has been feedback from students? What have you all been hearing on the ground?
We're 45 students.
45? So we're at 45 students for the program, and we getting a great feedback on our end with RCC, hearing that students really appreciate the pathway. So when I took over as dean of the health careers, that was something that students presented to me when I mentioned about this partnership. They were like, thank you for having another option other than nursing and radiology.
Yeah,
and so, because they were like, in the past, that's what was being pushed only. And so for them to be able to have another pathway in health career, they were happy to have this and hear that it's right there at Northeastern. So they were like, it's still right here in the community. They don't have to go far, and that they are able to stay that they're Northeastern students. So it has been great. Now that we open it to 10 degrees at RCC, has even made it even so much more better, because now students are like, yeah, we get to be part of this and stuff, because they felt like they were out of the equation. So now that they're part of it, they're like even more eager to join and start awesome. Everything to learn.
And hopefully we're a good partner. If we're not, you can tell me, but maybe not on the record.
You guys do it.
All right, excellent. Yeah, that's great to hear. And I think, the reason that I sit at this table and do this work, and probably all five of us, because I have to count myself here, is for the students, right? Like, that's fundamentally why I get out of bed in the morning. I mean, I also get out of bed to do my research, which is patience, but let's ignore that for today. The other thing you all tell me if I'm wrong, because I want to put this on the record, I suppose. Students apply to RCC, get accepted, then they apply to Northeastern and get accepted. Is that yes?
So again, the idea was to make the seamless transition, and we didn't want it to be, okay, you've graduated from RCC, now do you want to go to Northeastern? We want to make sure that there's that kind of soft handoff.
Correct.
To the process. So actually it's at around 30 credits, so halfway to their associate's degree, that a student gets to apply for the Northeastern RCC Associate Semester Program. They get accepted into the program, or hopefully they get accepted, and then they know that as long as they keep their grades up, mm-hmm. as long as they complete their associate's degree, there will be that seamless transition. And to make sure that the process was even smoother, we incorporated a program navigator into the process. So this is somebody who is from Northeastern, spends half their time at Northeastern and half their time at RCC. Dean Blythe actually works directly with the person, gave them an office so that they can meet with the students, do all the wraparound support services that Francesca was talking about earlier. So just again, to make that seamless transition into the program, through the program.
Awesome. So I'm going to ask you all to hold me to task, because what I would like to do is make it more seamless. So when they apply to RCC, they're automatically enrolled into our programs, and then the same standard would apply, right? As long as you keep your GPA up, you just automatically transition. I do understand, like, they're going to have to fill out an application to get into our systems, just to hit some nuts and bolts there, but I would love it to even be more seamless if we can do that. And I'm saying you have to hold me to task, because you're all going to look at me and go, dude, that's up to you to make that happen. So hold me on that. So that's the goal.
Also, say, trying to figure out what Hillel said. In addition to having someone on campus 2 days a week who's almost like an academic advisor for the program, we bring out faculty every single semester. We really want to let the students know about our faculty. A lot of the faculty here at CPS went back to school as adult learners. They went back to school raising families and working full time. And oftentimes you don't know what you don't know. So like this past April, we brought in, I think, 8 faculty members from CPS. We did a wonderful presentation. You guys had pizza and everything. So there was about maybe 50, 60. It was a lot of students in the room.
You got to have food.
Even for us adults, you got to have food.
But it was great to see after the panel presentation on all the different majors that students can go into and to hear the personal stories of our faculty, to see the students interact with the faculty one-on-one after the formal session. And then more importantly, to have that follow-up afterwards. Like, you know, I can reach out to so-and-so who's in charge of analytics. I can reach out to Erlene, who's in charge of healthcare. So they now have the email address and a face to go with a name. So that adds to the ease of the transition for the pipeline and the pathway programs. But I also think it's important when we talk about wraparound service. In today's day and age, where students, school is just one of many priorities, Jared, as you mentioned earlier. Like, RCC has an amazing opportunity for students who are dealing with food insecurities to go on campus. So, like, I went there, I toured the facility, and then here we have a bunch of resources. So students who are able to build relationships with, you know, our faculty and the navigator, they know they have this continuity of all these wraparound services, and it's just not focused on academics. And I think that's really the key to successful pathway programs.
Oh, I was going to piggyback off of that, because that is something that the president and we are trying to do better at RCC, is making sure that students feel connected from every level, from faculty to administrators to staff, so that students can feel more comfortable to come to us to say, hey, I'm struggling with this, how can I get there, or I heard about this pathway, do you know about it, or you know who's overseeing it and stuff. And it helps them to feel like we're human, just like them. Because a lot of times they will come in and they'll think like, oh, the president's way up there, I can't talk to the president. And it's like, no, you can talk to the president. The president has probably a similar story like you. And so then you start to realize you're relatable, and then it brings that barrier down for students to say, okay, here I am struggling with this, how can you help me and stuff. So I love that your faculty was able to share their stories and stuff, and I think that's important.
I love that. Being relatable and authentic is really important. Also, hence, shameless plug, on my podcast is called Just Jared.
And if I could do a shameless plug, because you mentioned the food service option there. RCC did start, I want to say it's at least a year ago, a food pantry on campus called the Rocksbox. It's supported by Stop and Shop and several other supporters that we have. And honestly, we did it because we understood where our students are, we understood what they need. We expanded it to the idea that, well, it was only operating during certain hours, and they're actually putting in lockers now so that you can only come on the weekend. If you can only come after hours, there's refrigerated lockers, regular room temperature lockers, and they can pick up things outside of regular business hours. And then honestly, all of that was in place. So with concerns around SNAP right now, we know that we at least have something there to support our students. So that's we're awesome. Always thinking about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, fundamentally, we need to meet our students where they're at, which sometimes can be lost when I sit at my desk and in the weeds.
Yeah. No, I just want to, one thing that we really are hearing very clearly from students who is the connection, the weekly connections that they have with faculty, and had to, you know, thank Erlene here, because a lot of, you know, I didn't say your name, but we know that's you. That the opportunity to talk about career placement or opportunities, the feeling of not being stuck in what they're doing right now. And just as you said, that's something that they really appreciated, and they're telling us in the survey. And so that creating that mentorship and an opportunity for them is really, it's been really powerful. And so it goes beyond bachelor completion. And so that's what they're really grateful for.
So, I mean, you went from starting with three programs or pathways to 10 plus, which is really exciting. So a two-pronged question, and take it whichever order you want. You know, it seems like a really successful partnership and experience for the students. So, you know, what are other opportunities that we could capitalize on? And I think, Erlene, you mentioned some, but what are other things that we've learned along the way that we could do better or differently for whatever the next opportunity is?
So I do want to just point of clarification. So we not only expanded our bachelor's degree options to 10, but we also expanded the number of graduate programs as well. Oh, so before, it used to be just three master degree programs that students would be able to kind of go into through this pathway program. However, when we spoke with the Department of Education and kind of made an argument for why we need to really look at workforce demand here in mm-hmm. Massachusetts, we also at that time asked them to expand to any master's degree. Great. So we have 45 active students in the program, but we have two who got their master's degree. So technically we've served almost like 47, close to 50 students so far.
So, I mean, I think it's important also I think this is true. When you think about a pathway, and it's important to present the whole pathway, but, you know, and it, like you said earlier, it's not linear. So you could do the associates and go to the bachelor's and then decide, like, or something comes up in your life and you have to adjust, right? So it's not like, it's not a zero-sum game, so to speak, all or nothing, which I think is important to mention.
Because something that sometimes folks forget is that what we think is successful is not something our students think successful. So maybe just getting a bachelor's is what they just really want.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, laying out the entire pathway helps them to say, okay, you have the option to just do the bachelor's, or you can go on and continue to the master's if that's something you're interested in. So allowing them to be able to have that flexibility to decide whether or not they want to just stop at the bachelor's or continue on to the master's definitely help with having a great successful partnership and stuff, where you're not putting another barrier to a student to say, oh, you got to continue all the way there.
Exactly.
Like that. Yeah. Well, maybe just one thing is the opportunity to engage also partners for, again, going back to the career placement, right? And trying to understand for our students, you know, as we are learning from them, they're listening for what they want, but also creating partnership with local or, you know, global employers. And I think that's something that we have to work a little bit more on this, and that's why I see a lot of the opportunities to have students also, you know, career fair or more, you know, something more what students are putting in front of, and kind of demystifying that, feeling like, okay, now I have a degree, how do I, you know, I'm meeting with the advisor, I know how to put together my CV, how to talk to people, but it's all in preparation for the real, experience. So I think that's an opportunity, partnership with industry and government agency, which we have, but really, healthcare or financial institutions, since we have expanded the programs that we accept students. So I think that's something that I look forward to contributing and to work also in terms of funding.
So here's I have a really fun commute an hour and a half or 2 hours, depending on the day, to make my office here in Boston. And today, the day that we're taping is November 6th. And the jobs report was released this morning, which was released every month. And there was the largest loss of jobs, I think, over the last 20 years. And one of the things that's interesting, if you dig into that a little bit, is that a lot of those lost jobs currently are quote unquote because of artificial intelligence or AI. So as you think of the program and the partnership and the opportunities, right, how do you think about the adaptation of the skills and the programming that our students, your students, and they're actually not my students, they're all of your students, will need to have to be successful in the industry? Because fundamentally, just for our listeners, I think that AI will probably, yes, I think AI will probably eliminate some jobs. It's going to create jobs, so that'll be a net neutral. So fundamentally, jobs will change. I don't think it's going to be this catastrophic, like, doom or gloom, AI is going to ruin everything. I mean, we've seen lots of industrial revolution and other things where jobs changed. But it is moving fast. But it's an opportunity for us to respond and react. So I'm just curious to know what you all are thinking about in the context of this pathway and the students' success and being ready for the workforce of tomorrow.
So I know that this semester, we're trying to be innovative about ways to engage students around education. And we offered all students and every student at RCC the opportunity to participate in our AI badge, and completely free. And, you know, just a different way, AI is moving so incredibly fast that as a faculty member, it's hard for me to even keep up. And so when you're a student, you're working, you're raising a family, you know, doing caregiving services, it's like, how can you learn in a way that's going to be conducive to the very limited time that you have? And so we offer this AI badge. We're going to offer it again in the spring, and hopefully with continuation of funding, hopefully we'll maybe offer it again. And we do have a few students who signed up for it. I feel like I should also sign up for it because it's
So
you got
it. You got it three,
but that's yeah. You all can sign up, please. I should sign up too. The only thing I know how to do is use that large language models, and AI is much more than that, obviously.
Sure. Well,
it doesn't have to be AI either. Specific, like, how do you think about the program skills?
Well, honestly, again, I know everybody is very worried when it comes to AI about the replacement of the jobs and, oh, this is just going to put people out of work. But I look back on time, that's because I was originally a science researcher by training. And I look back to when I started, and the research project that I did when I was in high school and got published and all of that, I realized later could be completely done once they had come out with all the blast search.
Yes, and other, exactly.
I had done sequence homology mapping, and I was just trying to find related sequences. And nowadays, you just have all that data, you have all the online sources, and so you can just blast it and find all of that without having to do all of that work. And it was the same thing, this human genome sequencing project. You know, it took a very long time. With current technology, would be done in a flash.
Exactly.
So technology will change, but the jobs are going to change along with that.
Right.
And they're going to change the jobs to take advantage of that new technology. So I'm not worried about it. I'm just curious as to what that will look like in the future.
Yeah.
Everyone is.
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm not worried about it either. But I do think that it's an opportunity for higher education as an industry to react in a way that we prepare our students for those change jobs, whatever that means, because I, to your point, I don't know what that's going to look like.
Well, then to give you an example, we have a class that teaches computer use of software, like very everyday things like Word, Excel, PowerPoint, things that students need for their different degree paths. And we said, well, nowadays AI can do a lot of that for us. So we've got faculty that are working to try to structure the course to
be. That's excellent.
Let's not just teach them how to use the software, which we're still going to do, but let's teach them how to use AI to use those softwares as well, to output what they want with those softwares.
Absolutely, which I think is super exciting and important. And just to embarrass myself, our institutional version of the Microsoft Office suite now has Copilot integrated into it all. So I opened PowerPoint the other day and I clicked and I'm like, oh, like sometimes I'll ask ChatGPT, like, help me think about a slide. So I asked Copilot to do that, but it didn't do what I thought it was going to do. It opened my presentation in like an AI format where it was going to make the slides right there. And like, I was like, I got scared and closed it really fast. I shouldn't be scared. The way I think about it is it's making me more efficient and letting me do the truly authentic human things that a computer can't do. But, you know, I did get scared and close it really fast. And then I thought back and I was like, wow, that was really sad, Jared. It's okay.
It's not about AI, but I think because we were thinking about creating more innovation opportunities for students, and I will ask Hila maybe to say more about this. We're thinking, and we've been working on offering, supporting students interested in specific certifications that are related to healthcare. So if you don't mind if asking, say a little bit more, because I think that's kind of is the future, because students can get some skills as they're working towards their bachelor's degree. Yeah.
And so that is something that the four of us have been working on for the last few months, a kind of shifting of the way that the associate's to master's is working to also do a little more at the RCC level. Specifically, we've been working with our workforce development area where we have a lot of the certifications that Francesca brought up. Things around CMA, Certified Medical Assisting, CNA, Certified Nursing Assisting, Phlebotomy, Medical Billing. These courses that, you know, students can come in, they can take it for, depending upon whether it's an accelerated class or a longer period class, shorter or slightly longer time, and then what they get out of it is a certification that can be used directly for work purposes. And so we don't view this as a stopping point, however. What we think of is that you may have heard the term stackable credentials. So the idea is that someone who gets maybe a CNA will then be like, okay, well, let me continue along that path. Maybe I want to go to the RCC nursing program and get an associate's or one of the other nursing programs and get full bachelor's or even master's degree. So that's the idea, that these certificates are a great way to get people not only interested and giving them a leg up, but jobs along the way, because we all know that they also have to support themselves while they're getting their degrees.
That's right. I mean, I think the idea of stackable credentials is fundamentally, for me, a cornerstone of the future of higher education. And oftentimes I think about micro-credentials in that context. And one of the things that I'm putting my colleagues in the college on notice, not that they're listening to this, but I'm going to make them listen now, that every single class that we teach will be broken down into skills. And that we use badges at the university. We'll give a badge for those skills. And those skill-based micro-credentials or skill-based badges are a currency in which the university or the instructor is validating that student can do that thing, right? Because one thing that I've seen and that I've heard, and it's partially true, it's not as catastrophic as people say, but there's a lot of, a lot of students leave with a lot of knowledge, but not a lot of know-how, like hands-on know-how. And that's what I think Northeastern and Roxbury Community College pride themselves on, is both of those things. But that doesn't necessarily resonate with all of industry across the world. So if we can give them new currency in the terms of a micro-credential that's been validated and authenticated, for the lack of a better word, I'm pushing my own agenda right now, but that's okay. Hopefully, that'll go a long way in the future of work and learning. And frankly, that those skill-based credentials don't only have to come from educational institutions. Many companies have their own quote-unquote universities that could do similar things, and we could integrate all that together, which is really exciting. So you've got me excited and off on my little tangent. I've been thinking a lot about this over the last several years, because fundamentally, like we've been saying, we want to meet the learners where they're at and make sure that they can engage and do those things. The other thing that I'm passionate about is transferring the cost of education to the employer as opposed to the student. So by doing those kind of things, we can do that and or help do that. And employers have tuition reimbursement programs, so it's not like some crazy thing that I'm saying here, but, you know, it's, I think we could leverage that more in pathways and opportunities.
And that's exactly the point of why we're offering those certificate programs, because, you know, phlebotomists right now are in such demand, medical billets are in such demand. So by helping their student get a certificate in one of those programs, then go and work for one of the hospitals where they can get up to a $5,000 tuition reimbursement each year towards a degree. I mean, that's knocking down so many barriers for students. I mean, $5,000 for a tuition reimbursement is a tremendous sum of money, depending upon the program. And so when we were kind of crafting this idea, you know, talking with folks in healthcare, like, where do you see shortages?
Yes.
I'm not sure about you, but if I get my blood drawn, I'm waiting like 45 minutes for someone to come in and draw my blood. And we all know how, you know, medical billing is so important just for a whole various reasons. But, you know, we were very thoughtful about, like, what type of programs are RCC? Can we go back and ask the Department of Education if that would make sense? And these certificates will help students get jobs.
And the point is also to consider the data.
Yes.
So I work with Credit for Prior Learning across the state, but at RCC as well. So the idea being that if people have existing knowledge, that if you can give them some credit for what they have already learned, whether it was on the job or through some other means. So in this particular case, if we don't have a course that matches up to give direct credit for something like this, we can hopefully give some elective credits for it. And it's been shown, I want to say the number is that students that are given that initial bump on credit for prior learning are 3.5 times more likely to complete their degree than a student who did not. That is huge.
That's huge. Yeah, and I think, you know, we like credit for prior learning or prior learning PLA.
Yeah.
But the thing that you're also talking about that I'm super passionate about, and I'd like to find ways to do more of and have better systems across the industry, which is higher education for me, is exactly what you're saying. Credit for work, and what that looks like. And credit for work that's awarded without attaching tuition to it, just saying. So we're coming up on probably about 43 minutes or so. I'm very precise today, and I'm sure that number is wrong. And they're going to do some cutting in, though, because I'm going to even look like I'm way off from that. So I want to give you each a chance to go around the table and say one final thing, something that I forgot to ask that you want to say or get off your chest, promote the program. I mean, fundamentally, this is this partnership and these opportunities for students are the cornerstone of what I believe in and what I'm trying to do. So that's my last, that's my second to last word, so I'll end with my fun stuff, but.
Well, one thing that I'm very excited about is that as these programs grow and we can have a community of learners, so where there are mentorship opportunities for these students who are helping other students, I think this will be extremely helpful because, yes, faculty come from a background where they can help, you know, going through some of the challenges, but students going through the programs are really the expert in helping others and supporting also with connection, you know, networking opportunities. So I'm very excited about getting to the point where we can actually create those communities where it's not just a weekly session that they really love, by the way, with faculty and the navigator, that they know they can go there, but having those also students helping each other.
Love it.
So completely agree on that one. I look forward to actually seeing the alumni that will come out of these programs, and we see it all the time at RCC. The alumni always want to give back in some way to the college, whether it's showing up at events, doing talks on programs. Like, for instance, Erlene comes, and she's come so many times to talk over the years now about the program. But we know also that if there was a student from the program right there with her, like alongside her, the students will listen to a someone who was like them so well as well. I would be extremely remiss if I didn't point out also that this kind of a program, yes, it takes people, it takes a village, just like you see right here, and there are people that are actually worked on it that are no longer even participating in it.
Totally.
But the funding for this program would not have been there without Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley's 100%. Support. It was $1 million that her people and she went out for, and we cannot thank her enough for that support. And it was a shameless pull, but anyone out there that wants to support this program, we definitely want to talk to them. We want to see about other ways to grow this program and other programs with Northeastern.
Awesome. Yes, and we also thank the Congresswoman and encourage her to listen.
I think being born and raised in Dorchester, I have seen such tremendous growth with RCC and Northeastern over the past 50 odd years that I've been alive. And, you know, being able to sit down at a table and talk about the students who have walked in similar shoes that I have personally walked in has been a game changer for me. And I'm so fortunate to have such amazing colleagues who are equally as committed to our student population. I mean, I look forward to the future where we can sit down again and brainstorm not only what we can do in terms of federal funding, but also how to bring employers and other industries into the conversation. Supporting workforce development, it should not just be something that higher ed is doing. It should be something that everyone is concerned about. So I look forward to having more of those conversations.
You were goading me to ask the question, who's the customer of higher education, and for somebody to tell me the students and me to say, yes, the students, but also the employer.
Exactly. So I'll try to say this without getting emotional because this is dear to me, but I truly appreciate a partnership like this between Roxbury Community College and Northeastern because it has finally allowed our students to be at the table when they weren't before in the past. And so not only are they able to be at the table, but they are able to participate in the feast that's being served at the table. So continue having partnerships like this is phenomenal. And if we can continue it whichever way we go with it, expand it and stuff and everything, it's gonna do so much to the community that we both serve here at Roxbury.
No, I'm supposed to end on after that. That was phenomenal. Thank you for that, and I couldn't agree more. And I thank you all for being here and having the conversation with me. I'm committed to pathways like this and to expanding and growing more. And I like to get out there and beat the pavement, probably to the chagrin of many people who think I should be doing other things, but it's my passion, just like it's all of yours. So the partnership is more important to me than I could articulate, and what we can do and together, but also be an example of what other institutions can do across the state that might not be us. But I think it's also really important to highlight that these things surely are happening elsewhere, but we want to help promote those opportunities and access as well across the board. So thanks again for being here. Thanks to all of you for listening. It's been a fantastic conversation, and I've really enjoyed the conversation, actually, and the partnership always. And I look forward to chatting with you all again soon, my listeners, in the coming weeks and months, as we're already in the planning process for the next podcast, just in case you wanted to know. But as always, if you see me walking around campus, probably I'm in my own zone thinking, so just jump in front of me and say hey, but remember, I'm just Jared.